I want to go ahead and give the beginning code. It's 843. The beginning code is 843. And Chris, you'll remind me to do the end code. Thanks. And I'm so glad to see all of you and be with you today. I know it's been a while. We've had a nice summer break, and now we're into fall and more productivity. And so thank you so much for coming and joining and being with us. So happy to be together again. I'm hoping that you have some questions that have come up since the last time that we were together, and possibly either some success stories or some case studies. That's where we'll start after I'm finished with the messaging that I want to do at the beginning of this call. If we have time, we'll also do some practice where I'll ask you some questions about how you coach people through the job offer negotiation process. And we probably won't have time to look at the job offer negotiation resources. I will point out to you that they've been revised and that they're a lot stronger than they were before. So if you get into job offer negotiation, look at those before you work with your client through them. There's some really great stuff there through contributions from Barry and Ariana and Katie. So thank you all for your contributions. And I did want to let you know, too, that I am in the process of recruiting coaches. I'm making it a very rigorous process, so it's going to take some time. But I am getting some fantastic candidates from you, from my coach, and then also from looking at my database of about 1,000 coaches and picking out people I think would be good. So I'm thinking we'll put about 3 on. I think it'll be great for all of us to have more people to network with and to be able to work with and so forth. And new ideas, new energy, and we really, you know, more capacity as well. And I think I'm going to have more confidence to sell even more when we have more capacity. You know, I sort of feel like if we don't have enough people, then I'm going to kind of pull back a little bit. So that's kind of what's coming up. And my mouth is getting really dry, so I'm going to take a little sip of water. Okay. So one thing that's occurring to me is it seems as if people are starting to shy away from job search coaching a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to share with you guys why I got involved with job search coaching in the first place, and hopefully inspire you a little bit around that. I know that job search coaching is really challenging. I know that what you're doing is staying with somebody who's struggling, trying to inspire them to do more when their fears and emotions are getting in the way of them doing more, that it can be a long process, that they have fears about resources, and that it's just hard for a lot of people. But the reason I got into job search coaching was that I knew that I could experience the process in a really fun, creative, I sort of saw it as a grand adventure, a way to meet new people and learn more about my competition, the people who did what I did, a way to be a super sleuth and uncover different possibilities that, you know, other people wouldn't uncover, a way to be creative, definitely something that would push me to meet new people, some of which would become friends, and in any case, all the people that I would learn from them. And I've always tried to infuse that sense of adventure into my coaching clients for job search. I've always tried to support them in seeing the fun part of it, because there really is a lot of fun to it. It's just how you approach it mentally. And I think for us as coaches, because it's such a challenging time for people, it's a place for us to actually do some of our best coaching. Because you're coaching someone who's overwhelmed, frustrated, fearful, in pain, feels rejected. And so you're getting to meet them in a place that's really challenging and difficult. And you have to keep doing it over a long period of time, usually. So I just kind of wanted to remind all of us that there's some wonderful things that come out of the job search process. I think we can think of it as being very mechanical and very resource driven, and it is that. But we don't have to dwell in those. We can assign work with them. We can say, hey, you know, you're in the networking phase. Go off and read this, this, and this. And then, you know, we can get into the meat of why they're afraid to go out and network, or what's getting in the way of them being their best selves. And we can help them see that this is a chance to redesign their lives, reinvent themselves, build their self-esteem, and do something that's difficult. I also feel that we can help them understand that this is just a phase in their life and not going to be their life forever. And I think that's important too. And so I think there's a lot of positive that we can point out to people who are in the job search process. And even I think that they definitely dread the job interview process. But there's amazing things about the job interview process. You can approach it with curiosity and creativity. You need to be yourself, because if you're not yourself and they hire you, they're not getting who they thought they wanted to hire. And if you are yourself and they don't get you, you don't want to work there. You don't want to worry about the outcome of the interview. You want to just be in the moment with it. They need to remember that they're a beautiful, shiny gift, and people will either take the gift or not. And if they don't take the gift, that doesn't change who they are. You know, if somebody rejects you on an interview, it doesn't change who you are. You're still the same wonderful person that you were. And you can see it as a way to go and give. And if you're giving to the people who are interviewing you, that's really attractive. So you can actually see it as a way of being of service. Even if they don't hire you, you can be of service to them. And by the way, that's the way I always approach every consultation with a client, as well as is I want to give to that person. And even if they don't hire me, I want them to walk away with something that's going to make a difference in their lives. And I think that's very attractive as well. So I kind of just wanted to hopefully inspire you guys a bit to rise to the challenge of job search coaching, which is difficult, to know that you're making a difference in their lives, a huge difference. Know that if once they find that new job, they're going to grow and improve their life. And also remember to seek support from each other, because it is a difficult, draining type of coaching. So I'm going to check in with April. April, did you get Vicky, or you just were able to leave a message?
No. I left her a voicemail also. And I sent her an email marked important.
Okay.
I told her about the email and my voicemail, and I made sure she understood we were using Zoom today. And if she had any questions or any trouble getting in, just to call me on my cell phone.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so you don't have to stay any longer. I think we're good, but thanks for answering the questions that you answered for me.
You helped me
on my journey with Zoom today, and I really appreciate that.
Okay.
And we all appreciate you, don't we?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Have a great day, everyone.
You too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Oh, that's a fun noise. So I wanted to start, before I go to what questions you have about career exploration or job search, I wanted to go to just ask you, what's one thing about job search coaching that you can hold on to when the going gets tough? And I'll start with Barry.
I just want to ask a question. Are you making a distinction between job search and job and career exploration? You sort of like throw it all in one big.
I was making a big distinction because I think career exploration coaching is more energizing. I think job search coaching is the one that people are starting to say, I don't want, you know, I only want a few clients in that arena because it's tough, you know, and I know it's tough.
Good. So the question, just say the question again. What do you do when the tough gets going?
Yeah. So what do you, so what can you do to inspire yourself when it gets tough?
Yeah. So two things. One is vision them towards the future, what they really want and what the thing is that's going to really juice them, you know, fill them up. The second is maybe connect them back to their values and what's most important. And the third thing, and maybe this is the one of the powerful, is go back and work with them to find out when they were in a job, what was it they really liked about it? So they get in a good state of mind. Because what happens is it depends how long they've been doing the career search and where they are. But if they get disenchanted, you kind of want to help them get back to that, you know, mojo, if you will. So that's it.
And for you, when you feel down or overwhelmed with supporting, is there something that you can do for yourself?
Well, two things. One is get up and move around physically.
That
always helps. And the other is, I think, you know, get with another coach and talk through it, you know, so you don't feel like you're alone.
Great. Chris?
Well, when I talk to someone who is searching for a job, and they have had multiple disappointments, I talk to them about how each interview is a way of learning better ways of approaching questions, because a lot of people ask basically a lot of the same questions, so they can hone their examples. We talk about body language, because if they're able to sit up straight, eyes looking straight ahead, all of that, their body is telling their brain that everything is fine. I'm feeling much more comfortable, and they feel more confident. We talk about branding, so that they are so used to who they are, that they can have a meaningful conversation with the interviewers, so that their value is shining through on how they answer the questions, how they talk about problems that they could solve, things like that.
Mm.
I think what you were going to ask me is what I was about to say is, for myself, I feel disappointed for them, but also optimistic that they have become stronger people. So like Barry, I'll get up, I'll walk around. I might say a naughty word or two. Because I'm so sure that, you know, they're just raring to go. And then, you know, my internal optimism always pops up. And I begin to feel they're going to, this was not the job that they were supposed to have. There is a perfect job for them. Mm. And we'll find it together.
And every failure is actually an opportunity to learn and grow.
Absolutely.
And the people who are successful in the world fail more than the people who don't.
Yes.
Because if you never try anything, then you never fail.
Right.
So, awesome. Thank you. Katie?
So I think your question was, what do we do when we feel discouraged, correct?
Yeah. Well, I guess the first question is, do you feel overwhelmed sometimes when you're coaching someone that's doing job search?
I think I feel overwhelmed when I don't have a balance of executive clients, leadership clients, and job search. I know I'm really good at job search. People seek me out for that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I love your reminders that we're serving them, right? It's how we're here to serve. And so for me, you know, doing job search is just a reminder of the creative process. Because I tell my clients, hold job search as a creative process, because that's what it is. What if you reframed it in your head, right?
Yes.
Because what you're actually doing is creating something in your life, right? It's not like you got to go get a job. I mean, if you go after it like this, you're going to be in desperation mode and it's going to take you forever to find a job. But if you can reframe it into, wow, this is a creative process. What am I going to learn about myself? What am I going to strengthen? And how do I want to begin to hold this and go about it differently, right, from that perspective? So, you know, for me, I have to hold that same context in my head that, you know, I'm actually holding the container of their creative process. And so if I can shift myself into that, it helps. And to also know that, you know, this is just one segment of my target market, and I do have leadership clients and executive clients that I coach, and, you know, what a gift, acknowledging myself, what a gift that I have these tools and this ability to serve these people and growing, right? Because everybody goes through a job search at some point in their life. I don't care if you're executive or not, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I really put gratitude on the diversity of my skills.
Yeah, I think having different kinds of clients instead of all the same kind is energizing. And you're right, every client you have at some point is going to get into job search. And if you're there and able to support them right away, that gets them going faster and connecting to the fact that we are here to serve and we are serving. Love that, Katie. Thank you so much. Ariana?
So I have similar thoughts as Katie in terms of myself energized.
Hey, can I just request, Ariana, move your volume up higher because you're too low? Because mine's on the highest it'll go and I can barely hear you.
Oh, sorry. Is this better?
Yeah, a little.
Yeah.
Or I wonder if I should put in my headset. You can hear me okay?
Yeah, that's okay. Great.
Okay, all right. I have similar thoughts as Katie. So one of the things that really helps me keep my energy up for and feeling re-energized for job search clients is having the balance of clients. I really enjoy it. For me, that's very energizing in itself. Having the variety, that's one of my values, is having variety and challenge. So, and challenge is actually, that's what, so when I am dealing with a challenging job search client, I do sort of get energized by that because I do like challenge. And so I'm trying to figure out, okay, how else can I serve this person that I haven't already thought of? So I go through some exercises like that to really get me. And I see that as my creative process too. In terms of my my clients, one of the things I do to keep them, I all the other ideas shared, I also incorporate, but I think one of the other things is grounding them in their joy and what they find, what they're looking for, what they're looking for more of in their life. So keeping them grounded in that throughout their job search, they are in the process of attaining that through the job search. And the other thing I use is to remind them that they are in a position of power as well. When they are also interviewing the company as well as they're interviewing you. So to remember their own power, that they have choices. They don't have to work for anyone. They can choose where they want to work. So,
that's lovely.
Yeah. So there we go.
That's fantastic. And what you said also made me think that we need to remind all of ourselves that we have each other to reach out. And so always feel free to reach out to me, especially for ideas of types of jobs that they could look for that may be closely related to what they're looking for. Because sometimes it's that they're not using the right language and they're not uncovering as many opportunities because they're calling it one thing and the other industry would call it something else. Or maybe, you know, they could be a business analyst and they could be a systems analyst, you know. So sometimes it's broadening. So know that I'm here, know that your fellow coaches are there, and you can just, you know, send off an email and say, hey, I've got a client, they're doing this, they're looking for this. Do you have any ideas for how to uncover that? And I think if we utilize each other as resources, we're so much stronger together. So, and that's what... I mean, I think that's what's special about us and what we're going to continue to build is that we're not just one coach. We're a coach group that supports each other. And so you're getting deeper resources than just one coach. So I want to encourage you to reach out too. That's awesome. Thank you so much. All of those were great answers. And I think just to know that everyone gets overwhelmed with job search coaching at some point. I know that I did, especially during the recession, because some people were in a search for 2 years or more, and I hung in with them, you know, week after week. But once they got that job, it changed their lives, and it was so exciting to see that. And so you got to hold on to that they will get that job no matter how long it takes. It just takes longer sometimes than others. So, so with that, I'd like to move on to, do you have any career exploration or job search questions that have come up? We haven't been together in a long time. Is there anything that's come up for anyone? And I'll just throw it open.
You know, this is Barry. I have one, but not exactly. And that is... one of the clients I work with, not through Glacier Point Executive Coaching, it's really interesting because the job is to coach him in the job, but he's actually looking for a new job. So
that happens, you know, a lot.
There's the delicate part of that. And so I'm wondering if you got any thoughts about that.
Is the company paying for the coaching?
No.
Okay. So then what is delicate about it for you? Is it?
Well, I'm not sure. Are you saying that if the company is paying for it, if they shouldn't do it? And if the company's not paying for it, you should do it. I'm not sure what your distinction
is. Yeah. Yeah. So what I'm saying is if you have, and by the way, I'm throwing this open to all our clients. They don't have to be Glacier Point clients. So that's perfect.
Go ahead.
Okay. What I'm saying is if the company is paying for the coaching and the client decides to look for another position, my belief is that we can coach them through that decision, but we cannot coach them in helping them look for that other job because the company is paying for that. But if we have a client that's paying us already, then the way I've done it in the past is do a little of both. We work on how to make you happier in your job for 25 minutes of the session, and the other 30 minutes of the session, we work on job search.
Yeah.
And we kind of keep bouncing back and forth.
I see. So you're saying the payment is sort of the authority of what they can and can't do, kind of?
It's an ethical question, Barry.
Great. It's a great question. So this one, here's the thing. Yeah, I get that. Here's the thing. It's not about they're paying for it. What they really want to do is they really want to make the job work.
Okay.
But I won't get into all of it, but there's a couple of buts in there. And so what they're starting to do is they're starting to look. And so on one hand, it's like what they want me to do is coach them to have the job work and work with them to be a better leader. On the same token, they're beginning to go, huh, is this really the right fit? You know? So,
So I would, you know, usually in that situation too, it might be you have a session where you just focus on, do you want to be in this job or not? And even if they decide they don't want to be, and that they do want to look for another job, I've always had a little bit of how to keep doing the job they're doing the best they can and how to reduce the pain, because it takes time to look for that next position.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is that what you're looking for?
I think so, because I think it's really a question of choice. What's it like to choose and be in the job you love? Is this the job you love? Is there something else? Yeah, it's that teeter-totter wing is a greener on the other side of the fence, and sometimes the job they're in isn't the right job for the company.
Right.
But it's helpful.
Right, and sometimes you coach them around, is this the right job? And they really come to the point that it is, and that helps them commit to the job they're in and helps them move forward in it. So you do have to explore so that they know, they get clarity. But I've had lots of times where I've coached a client and they wanted to explore whether they were in the right job, and they decided for now, at least for the next 2 years, this is the right place for me. And I'm going to revisit that in 2 years. I'm putting it on my calendar to revisit it. But right now I'm going to put my heart in this.
Yeah.
So I think that's a common situation. I think another thing you're touching on is that sometimes we start coaching a client in one area and it moves to another area. And as long as we feel qualified to support them in that next phase, that's fine. So if you have a job search client and they get the job and now they want leadership coaching, by all means, if you feel confident in leadership coaching, switch over to leadership coaching. Then you might be coaching the client and you're going along in leadership coaching, and maybe they decide they want to get a divorce or they're thinking about it. Mm-hmm. If you feel comfortable, you can coach them around that life decision. So if you don't, then you want to refer them to another coach for that particular part of the coaching, or to a therapist if that's more appropriate. But I think, you know, I've had lots of clients where we've moved around into a lot of different types of coaching, and it's fine as long as I feel like I can do it and as long as they feel like I'm serving them.
Thanks.
Anybody have any comments on that?
I coach guys a lot that come to me and they say, so Katie, you know, I want to create my next iteration of my career and I'm not quite sure how to do that. There's some stuff going on inside the organization, blah, blah, blah. And the reality is, it's coaching the core of why they're coming, right? Because even though they think it's this, there's always something deeper. And so once you get into what's deeper, then you serve them however you're supposed to. So a lot of times these guys will come and they'll do two paths. They'll start career exploration. And then, of course, they bring the leadership meeting they just had into the conversation, right? And so you end up coaching them around that. And they end up, I had one guy, he ended up staying where he was at. He said, it's going great. I don't want to leave. And I'm so glad. I have a great resume now. My LinkedIn profile, you know. So it's really, you know, what's the core that's creating the discontent?
Yes, coaching them to wherever their pain is.
Yeah.
And people ask often, what's the difference between life coaching and business coaching, leadership coaching? And often what I say is, it's just a matter of who's paying for it, because there's always business or career coaching in life coaching, and there's always life coaching in business coaching. And it is also maybe where do you focus more of the time, but you're always coaching the whole person wherever you're coaching. So any other questions that have come up since we've been together about either career exploration or job search coaching?
I have a question.
Great.
It's a tactical question, a resource question. Any resources around part-time employment that provide benefits?
There are websites listed on the job search websites list that are part-time. I they don't differentiate whether there's benefits or not, but there's some for internships that can be paid or not paid. There's a couple of sites that are just for part-time work. There's a site for working at home type work.
Yeah.
So there's several different resources there. If you find something that says whether, you know, they have benefits or not, I think really what they're going to end up having to do is just look at each job and see if it does or doesn't.
Yeah, well, I've Googled it. There's a list on Google. I just didn't know if there was another resource. And then I've just told the client that I'm working with to go to their, if they're a member of an alumni, you know, a university, to go into the Career Center there. They should be able to help them in their local area. To definitely contact the Business Journal to find out which companies in the area, because they may have that information, and to use the business librarian. But I was just curious if you had any other things.
Yeah, so we've got at least three that would apply to that. And I would think even the nonprofit websites often have part-time jobs. So, and you know, there's sections of all of the websites that we use that are part-time work. Like if you go to Monster, there's a section that's part-time work. So, so there's, yeah, so you can offer them. And then if you have any new resources, send them to me and I'll add them if they're different than what we have.
And then I was curious also, there was a conversation on LinkedIn this morning about that there have now been stats that people that are working virtually, you know, the companies are putting a lid on it because they're seeing a decrease in revenue. And so there's this huge conversation on LinkedIn about this right now. And I was just curious if you had any information just in the research you do, Donna, or anybody else, because, I mean, I commented on it. I gave my two cents because I don't think that's true at all. But
I don't either.
Yeah, and I think that leadership, it's a leadership, you know, issue and a cultural issue. And I went to town on LinkedIn this morning. But
awesome.
Yeah, but I was just curious if anybody's in that conversation or has any stats or resources around that or.
Yeah. I know that there's data out there that says that say the exact opposite. So I'll try to see if I can put my hands on it. I know I've seen it in the past. And so, you know, they can always do a study that says one thing and a study that says another thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I think that there is a gap for leaders knowing how to lead virtually. So that's something that I think we, you know, as a team need to work on and support. But I do think that that's maybe part of the issue too, is just knowing how to connect with people and how to still spend time with them and answer their questions and not let them feel isolated, how to make a team, even though it's virtual. There's, you know, a lot of things that they don't know how to do, but I know that we could find data that would refute what they've said, so. And obviously we're productive, right?
Oh my gosh. I work with multiple organizations that are virtual, and it's like with Zoom now, thank God we have a decent technology, you know, to be able to work virtually, and just the time you save commuting when you're in the Bay Area or you're LA, you know, I mean, these bigger New York communities, you know, I just think it's leadership. There's a leadership deficiency. Yeah.
And so, you know, how do you hold your staff accountable?
Yeah.
How do you make sure they're doing the right work?
Yeah.
How do you connect with them? All of those things. But yeah, I don't get interrupted like I did when I was in the office.
Exactly.
You know, and chat, and I'm like, I need to get my work done. Go away. So, Barry.
Just out of curiosity, I put on my marketing branding hat for a second. What if we were to do something like a white paper or a little marketing blurb or a little audio or video around this, how to work with people virtually, because everybody's having to do it. And
well, Barry, I'll stop you because I'm very deeply considering writing a book on this. So I kind of didn't want to say that because my coach is saying don't say it aloud because then
I picked it up on the sub channel. Sorry. I was listening acutely.
So, and I have thought that maybe the first thing to do is to do a white paper or a video or something short just to see what the response is first. But, you know, I am deeply considering doing some research and some original research and doing some writing around this. And I think, you know, Katie, you and I, the some of the work that we were starting to do is involved with this. Sherry's also looking at this. And I think we could be a company that's differentiated by helping people work virtually. And so
that's what I
it's something it's under consideration.
Yeah, it'd be a great way to market the leaders.
Yeah, that's what I think. So it's just a matter of, am I ready to put my toe in that water yet or not? Because I'm supposed to keep my work less, more.
We don't need to give her ideas.
So I'm thinking about it. So yes, but if you want to write a white paper, I'm happy to promote it. So, or if you want to contribute, I'd love that too.
Okay.
Thanks. Ariana, do you have any questions or anything on career exploration or job search that you want to bring up?
Yeah, I do have a question, actually. I wanted to just check in on, so I've got a client that I just recently started working with that has done her MBA, and then she's got two separate years of work, and she just got fired from her. In terms of her resume, she's, you know, got 1 year at one company and 1 year at another company, and they're both in sales and both in a very specific kind of sales. So I'm just wondering, what is your experience with putting something in a cover letter just to speak to the shorter lengths of her terms and maybe provide some sort of an explanation, but in a very positive way, into her cover letter? Or would you leave that for her to address in the interview? I'm just curious about.
I have a strong viewpoint, but I can tell Katie's having a viewpoint. So Katie, why don't
you? No, I'm just trying to listen, trying to hear her.
Okay.
No, go ahead, Dawn.
Okay. My strong viewpoint is that a year is fine in this world the way it is now. So my strong viewpoint is not to put anything in the cover letter, and to, especially with a young person too, they're finding their way. People know they're finding their way. In the IT world right now, the average employment time in Silicon Valley is a year. So we're seeing shorter amounts of time that people are staying in companies anyway. I think that wisdom comes from a long time ago. I do think that they will encounter people that have a problem with it, and it'll be HR people because they've been trained that way, but they only need to find one job. And so maybe, you know, if there's 100 jobs, maybe 20% they won't get pulled for, but the other 80 they will. And so my personal thought is, don't address it in the cover letter. Talk about what value you can bring to the company that you're applying to in the cover letter. Be positive, and then be prepared with a very strong answer for it in the interview. So that's the way I see it. Any other viewpoints or anything anyone wants to add?
I would agree with you, Donna. I don't think it's as big an issue. I mean, if you listen to Simon Sinek at all, you know, he talks about the millennial generation and how, you know, they are, you know, and unless the hiring manager brings it up, they should not bring it up, right? They need to know how to address it when the hiring manager brings it up in a positive context. They also have to reframe it in their own head if they're looking at it negatively. So
yes.
I wouldn't bring it up as a negative unless they say, oh my gosh, I've only been a year here and a year here. Then it's an issue internally on their side, right? I wouldn't project onto them about, you know, that dynamic. I would agree with Donna. I think that this generation is a whole different ballgame. And that interview Simon did is really eye-opening around it and could help with coaching and stuff that they want to check out. You can just Google Simon Sinek millennial interview. It comes up. It went viral.
It looks like Barry, you have something to add? No. Okay. Chris, anything to add to that?
I saw the interview as well, and it was excellent about millennials and how they approach the work and so forth, and how people might look at them. And like Katie, I, you know, it has to be positive rather than thinking about it negative. I have a client who's working right now, and she's making a lot of mistakes because she is sabotaging herself by thinking negatively, and that whatever she does is going to come out wrong. And so it does. So rather than have a self-fulfilling prophecy, turning that around to, these are great learning experiences, this is what I'm taking from it and what I can apply at, you know, ABC Corporation.
Nice. I did want to tell a short story about being fired, because they are going to need to talk to being fired. Why are you not at that position? You know, oftentimes you can say, oh, it wasn't a good match, and so I decided, it was a mutual decision that I leave, and I decided I would consult for a while until I find the right position that truly matches me. With a young person, you could say, you know, I'm young and I haven't worked at a lot of companies, and I found that this wasn't a good match. But I did want to tell a story about an HR person who was very seasoned, that was a friend of a friend. And this person did something that she got fired for. She took some money that had been from a fundraiser, and instead of going directly to the bank and putting it into the bank, she took it to her hotel room, and she got fired for that. And it was for cause that she did not handle the funds appropriately. She was deeply embarrassed, and it was heard about in the industry. So she took that and made a story about what she learned from that, that you can be too casual about something. You can think, oh, I need, you know, I can just do that tomorrow. And she found a way to really tell the story in a compelling way, and she actually got 2 job offers within a couple months. So even though it was known in the industry, she was able to get around that. And another story was, I was interviewed for an article about, should you tweet your own firing? And in some, you know, in some industries, everybody knows you got fired, right? If you were in the entertainment industry, if you were in the blogosphere, people would know. And so my answer to that question was, sometimes you should tweet your own firing and you should say why, especially if it was something that wasn't something that you did bad or wrong. So it depends on the situation. There could be a lot of creative ways to handle being fired. So hopefully that's helpful for your young person, Ariana. Oh, you must be on mute, because I can see you're talking, but I can't hear you.
No, I'm not on mute.
Oh, now you're back.
Yeah, maybe I'll put in my headphones. But anyway, okay. Thank you very much. That was helpful. Thank you, everybody.
Great. Chris, do you have any questions or anything about career exploration or job search that's come up?
No, right now I have mostly leadership and business coaches, so not at the moment.
Okay. So shall we move?